Okay, we are just doing brief summary of the previous section. So what was I discussing? Our teacher is very, very elevated. He is a brahmachari from childhood. Naishtika brahmachari, is not married at all. Because of that, they have lot of power and purity. So he come this year is going to come again to teach us Bhagavatam. At that time, last year at least, he met all the Bhakti Gita groups, like all of you. There are many groups, right? 5 of them. So all of you also can know, you know, from where we have learnt and what is the standard. So he used to tell us, like, actually as you advance, you will realize actually there is nothing you could have done, or rather nothing you did. It's all mercy. You will realize that. At one point you realize it's all causeless mercy. It's just bestowed upon you. You will become so humble, like that he was telling. It's a long way to go for us, but that's a goal. We'll come to that stage one day. So then we were also discussing another practical point, right? Like, okay, Arjuna was confused because of Svajana feeling. So Svajana means what? What is the Arjuna's platform of Svajana?
Bodily
platform. It's like based on my body, whoever are related to me, they are mine. So we are also having families and, you know, wife and husband and children. So how, what is the spiritual way to deal with Svajanas? Or like, what is the right way,
which doesn't entangle
us?
By bringing the family members to Krishna consciousness.
Okay. So our motive or our endeavor should be always how I can bring my family members closer to Krishna. Be it taking to temple or taking to some other thing which is, you know, closely connected to Krishna. Or, you know, let's say wife is tired, she cannot cook, helping wife cook. Or, you know, so many ways we can, whatever way. But the consciousness should be like, okay, this is, it's not like I'm doing because, you know, I can get a good name that I'm a good husband, or not like that, but trying to remember Krishna in all the situations.
Offer it as prasad, right? Offer it as, when you do it, that's what he said, trying to remember Krishna. It's a devotional
service. Exactly. Correct. As a service to Krishna, we serve all family members.
Right.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So that, I think, briefly summarizes what we covered so far. So we'll do verse number 29. So we'll just read the Sanskrit and English of verse 27 and 28, following Madhav Prabhu's tradition. Then we'll continue with 27, we can read the Sanskrit together. Tan samikshasya kaunteya sarvan banduna vasitan kripaya paraya vishto vishidan idam abravir. Somebody can... No, translation can.
When the son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed with compassion and spoke thus.
Arjuna uvacha drishvemam svajanam krishna yuyutsam samupasthitam sidanti mama gatrani mukam cha parishushyati.
Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up.
Okay, so we'll start with verse number 29 today. So now Arjuna is going to manifest more symptoms of what is the effect of being in material consciousness. How much he gets bewildered. We'll see more symptoms.
Vepatuscha sharire me romahastascha jayate gandivam shamsate hasta tvakchaiva paridahyate.
Okay, we'll do again.
Vepatuscha sharire me romahastascha jayate gandivam shamsate hasta tvakchaiva paridahyate.
My whole body is trembling, my hair is standing on end, my gokandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning purple. There are two kinds of trembling of body and two kinds of standing of hair on end. Such phenomena occur either in great spiritual ecstasy or out of great fear under material conditions. There is no fear in transcendental realization. Arjuna's symptoms in this situation are out of material fear, namely loss of life. This is evident from other symptoms also. He became so impatient that his famous bow Gandiva was slipping from his hands, and because his heart was burning within him, he was feeling a burning sensation of skin. All these are due to material conception of life.
Okay. So Arjuna is feeling his whole body is trembling, hair is standing on end, my bow Gandiva is slipping from my hand, and my skin is burning. Like so much extreme symptoms, right? So Prabhupada is giving us these symptoms are usually, there are two ways they manifest. One is in too much of material fear, or when other one is a spiritual ecstasy. So what is Arjuna's, why, what is the reason for Arjuna's manifesting symptoms?
Because of the material conception.
Material conception, material fear. It's not the spiritual ecstasy. So actually it said that the Gandiva bow, Arjuna was so famous fighter that Gandiva bow used to actually create fear in the enemy's heart. But the same bow is now slipping from his hand. So he is so anxious. And Prabhupada calls him, he is impatient. So impatient also means like he is very anxious, anxiety, because of that anxiety. And Prabhupada says loss of life. But actually this loss of life is not for himself. It's for his relatives. Because he is fearless, right? He is fearless. He was even called, what is the Sanskrit word which means that he conquers the sleep and ignorance? Gudakesha. So he was even called Gudakesha. So he conquers even sleep and ignorance. So he is not afraid of fighting at all. It's only because of, you know, affection, family affection, he's feeling, because of this loss of life, he's feeling material fear. So which reason we are covering still?
Material.
First one, right? Compassion. It's compassion still. Actually, in the lecture we heard, like we should imagine ourselves in Arjuna's shoe. We are in a battlefield and we have to fight our family members. Let's say, what do we feel? How do we feel? So then we can relate to what Arjuna is feeling. Like our own parents, let's say, spiritual masters. Everybody is getting distracted. Our spiritual masters, maybe friends, relatives whom like we adore, like we are opposite to them and we have to fight and we have to kill them, how we'll feel. So like that. And regarding spiritual ecstasy, so that's our goal. Actually these symptoms, when we completely become pure and pure love touches our heart and it manifests through our heart, these symptoms are manifested. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has quoted a verse indicating the symptoms. Some of you attend Mangalarti, so you might have known this Shishashtakam, one of the verse in Shishashtakam. I think you both only attended, right? Yeah. So, that I will give you the starting so you can complete the verse. Nayanam galadash taraya, vadanam gadgada rudayagira. Pulakair vichitam vapu kada tavanama grahane bhavishyati. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, when will my tears flow continuously, the tears of love, when will my eyes flow continuously tears of love for you? Nayanam galad ashrudaraya, vadanam gadgada rudayagira. When will my body tremble? Then what is the third one? Nayanam galad ashrudaraya, vadanam gadgada Gada Rudayagira. Pulakair Vichitam. When will my hair stand on the end? When I chant your holy name. So actually chanting the holy name, just one name of Krishna could give these transcendental symptoms. Because holy name is embodiment of Krishna himself. He's Krishna himself. So when we have that pure love, when you have that pure love, like just by remembering or saying that word, immediately we feel. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested these symptoms also. But the devotee, advanced, even any devotee, is always a humble mood. So he always says, when will the day come? That's the mood of a devotee. So, actually there are some sampradayas or some, you know, what to say? Yeah, we can say sampradayas or some places where they follow some things. where it's sahajiyasam. Sahajiyasam means taking everything cheaply and trying to act in a advanced platform without really achieving that purity. So from the beginning they start crying, just like that, you know, singing songs and keep crying. Actually, Madhav Prabhu, he happened to start his journey through that. Actually, one session he attended. So he liked everything. They were talking about, you know, Krishna, he's God, everything. But of course, it's not ISKCON, everything. But then he saw that when the wife, when she sings songs, she starts crying. Then he was thinking, oh, what is this? Because normal people cannot understand this, right? So that's why Vaishnavas, they don't exhibit these symptoms for general public. It's all, you know, between him, them, and because otherwise it becomes like a cheap adoration and a way to attract people, and it's all becomes very cheap. But these are very, very elevated subject matters, nothing to be taken for cheap, and that's where we can distinguish which is the real thing versus. That's why we need to, as Prabhu always says, we need to understand the philosophy properly. So we will not be cheated. Otherwise it becomes like a sentiment. But bhakti is not a, usually that's the notion, right? Bhakti is a sentiment, that's what we feel. Oh, some feeling I have, I can't even judge what it is. I can't judge who has more bhakti, but it's not. As we discussed last time, it's very, very scientific. You can measure, there are gradations, there are symptoms, and you can measure your own progress. And actually the growth of bhakti is actually corresponding to the growth in the philosophical knowledge and conviction you have in the philosophy. So we may say that philosophy, how does it gel with the bhakti? Like philosophy is more, you know, intellectual platform, and it may actually give the awe and reverence feeling to the God rather than giving, you know, loving feeling. We want to know Krishna and we want to play with Krishna. So when we know more about him philosophically, we may actually see him as like in awe and reverence. So we may have that feeling, but actually that's not true. The more our bhakti is increasing, as much as we are fixed up in the philosophy, we are convinced and we can convince others. So in that regard, actually there are three broad categories of devotees. There is Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. So Kanishta,
are those the gradations of bhakti that also
gradations of people practicing bhakti. So like for example, any of us, we can be put into these categories like that. You know, if you want to classify devotees based on their devotional service, these are the broad categories. Of course, within Kanishta, you can have Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. Like that, it can go many details, many, like 3 into 3, like that. So briefly, if I have to describe, Kanishta Adhikari is a person who has faith and he is aware that Krishna, Lord, is the supreme, and devotees, there's a process of devotional service they follow, but they don't have equal respect, or you know, they don't see God in devotees. Basically, they offend devotees, but they serve the Lord. So they are, and their faith, their knowledge about philosophy is very fragile. So if somebody strong from other sampradaya or some other non-bona fide sampradaya, they give some verses or something, they can, their faith is so this thing, they can change. So that's the Kanishta level. We all are pretty much at that level, very, very beginning. So next stage is Madhyama Adhikari. Madhyama Adhikari is, he sees Krishna and he also sees Krishna and devotees, so he is very careful about offenses, doesn't want to commit offenses, and you know, like he tries to serve devotees. Everything is there, and his faith is, he has a conviction about the philosophy that's there. He cannot convince everyone properly, but he will, in a strongest debate, probably he will not be able to convince, but he is convinced himself, like he will not get affected. When something happens like this, he will not go and, you know, jump into the another sampradaya or some other thing. He knows that these conclusions, whatever I have heard, I'm convinced about it, I'm going to follow it. He may not be able to convert a non-devotee into devotee. He may not have that power. But devotees who are favorable, he will serve them. And topmost is the Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari is a person above all of this. Is like he's convinced about philosophy. He can convince anyone about philosophy. And his bhakti is at such a stage, just by seeing him, people chant Hare Krishna. Like all our sannyasis or Prabhupada, they are at that level. Like just by seeing them, somehow, you know, people stand up. Because of their devotion, it is said that, like, why people stand up when we see somebody, you know, who is elevated, is they say that their bhakti, because of their bhakti, they are at that level that automatically the soul raises up. So people stand up. That's what they were saying.
So the good example is Sri Velukudi Krishnan, right? How many people have seen him before this time, right? I don't know how many people had seen him before. But when you heard first time, so I'm pretty sure many of you came for all the sessions, Mataji, you know, you attended. So something, right? So what is the difference? So there is something in him which attracts the, you know, other sincere souls. So that's the purity. So they are in that level actually. When they talk something, it directly penetrates to your heart. And you can tell there is some genuine, you know, and so simplicity, right?
That's true.
Yeah, you will never, actually, that's the whole thing, yeah. Purity, it's all finally boils down to purity of the soul.
Okay, so we covered this verse, I think. We'll go to the next verse, verse number 30. So Arjuna is still continuing the symptoms, and we are still in the first reason, compassion. Nacha shaknomi avastatum brahmativa chame mana nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. Nacha shaknomi avastatum brahmativa chame mana nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava.
I'm now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon, purport. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bhayam viti yabhi nishataha syat. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions.
Yeah, we'll pause there, Prabhu. So this one point Prabhupada is telling here, very, very fundamental point. So Arjuna is not able to stand on the battlefield any longer. He's forgetting himself and his mind is reeling. And he's seeing only causes of misfortune. So the causes of misfortune is nimittani viparitani. You want to explain? So nimittani viparitani, right? Nimittani means, nimittani, if you read the word-to-word translation, it's causes. It's a cause. What is the cause for this? Nimitta matram, right? That means you just be an instrument. Nimittani means cause, viparitani means opposite. So what was the cause of them to start fighting the war? The cause that they don't have a kingdom, right? So if they fight, this is the only way they can get the kingdom, because when they have the kingdom, they can rule the citizens, and because they are following their dharma, they will be happy with the family members. So the cause for the war is to eventually gain the kingdom and be happy. But Arjuna is saying, I'm seeing viparitani. Everything is opposite. That actually this kingdom is going to make me miserable. The war and eventually that kingdom is going to make me miserable. So the source or the cause by which I'm going to fight is become opposite. The very thing which I thought was going to give me happiness is now going to give me misery. Because if everybody dies, Whom am I going to share my kingdom with? So that's the thing. So he's seeing opposites. He's seeing the opposite. And other point is, if you see, very, very nice statement Prabhupada is making here. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. So these are called pregnant sentences. Just one sentence says so much value, right? Everything is covered. Actually, the whole material existence is covered in this one sentence.
Which one?
Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering state of existence.
And it's very practical, right? Even in our own
life. Yeah, exactly.
It's so practical. Because we think when we go and chase a material thing, so many examples, like a job we have always been dreaming of, and a house we always wanted to buy, or a car we always wanted to buy. We've been always dreaming of it or whatever. And then at that time it's like we think, okay, we'll be completely so happy once we get the car or job or house or whatever. Once we get it, all the bad things of that starts hitting us. Okay, this is taking too much petrol, or here the mortgage is hitting me, or the job requires like 14-15 hours of work, whatever. Then the same thing for what we were longing for is a cause of pain.
Yeah, correct. So very nice.
He is the same thing, right?
Correct.
He wanted to fight.
Now he's getting. Yeah.
And he's thinking like we normally think.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, he's reacting like a soul, a conditioned soul. And some like that, can we now brainstorm on some of the examples in our lives, or maybe generally what we have seen about how attachment to material things can put us in bewildering situations? Many examples we can say, like just we can share, so that you know this digs in deeper. Like maybe you might have been attached to certain thing, and then you know it later on, during the process until you got it you were suffering, when you got it after that you were suffering. Or like, okay, maybe
for example promotion, position that you always hankering that I want to become a manager, I want to do this. You become that, and then you realize, okay, with power comes responsibilities also, and then the pain, and
we need to work more.
Salary raise. With money comes a lot of expectations, lot of hard work, lot of late nights.
Yes.
So then you realize, you know, the hankering just goes on.
Yeah.
That's
correct.
It's a cycle.
And another example we could give is like, for example, new car, when we, maybe normal car, maybe I'm not too materially, somebody is not too this thing, normal car, but the new car they bought, that's all, finished. First day they comes out of the, what is that place where we buy?
Showroom.
Yeah. Showroom, step out, then drive slowly. That's all, one stone hits, gone. So many, you know, like your heart, your whole thing is there in that, you know, as if your life is there. One scratch comes, finished. You'll be so bewildered,
but
and you'll
this
be.
Big thing, Mataji, like when we shifted to a new apartment, so I had lot of stuffs which I absolutely don't need, but still I wasn't able to throw them away. It's like because I'm so attached to those small things. Few dresses which I will never fit into, but still I'm carrying them with me. Maybe someday I will go back to their size and I will them. It's just very small thing, but those are there. There are a lot of utensils which I won't be using at any point of time, just because somebody has given me, and I'm not going to throw them, I'll keep them. So everywhere the attachment is there. It's like very small to bigger things.
That's correct.
All of us are like this, Mataji. I was reading a cartoon like this, looking at a cartoon. Previously, when somebody was tripping and falling, we at the worst comes to us, we'll laugh. Now that guy is walking, his iPhone trips and falls. He also falls, we ignore him. He's like, oh man, iPhone fell, it broke. You have become like that.
Yeah, very nice. I wanted to relate this. One day at work, I was at work, and every day morning I go to fill water. So I went to that place. So I saw another person, he's not in my team, lady. And she was walking across. So I'm coming like this, she's walking like this to the same place. So she's carrying some phone and she was walking. And suddenly the phone fell down. I was just watching her reaction. I was so amazed, you know, the way she was like. I was like, oh, it's like a babe, more than a baby. Like, oh my God. I was like, how people have become so attached, and like first time it fell down, I don't know. I was also like that for 2 months. My phone is like, oh, nothing should happen now. Everything is broken. I don't even want to buy a new phone because it's working. I want to use it as it is.
It's all broken.
So,
if you get like your first dent in your car, after that,
yes,
100 dent,
slowly,
yeah,
just wait for one.
First time you'll feel the pain.
I think it's just all about sentiments, I think.
Attachment.
Attachment.
Because you know, initially you feel like, you know, you can make sure, you can protect it for lifetime. You have that illusion. But once it breaks, then you'll figure out, actually, you know, I can't do it.
See, that's a good point. Basically, we start thinking, because we are independent, we think we are independent. So our mentality is that we try to protect everything. you buy something, you think I'm going to protect it longer. You know, I have all the power, everything. But something out of your control, something happens, like for car, right? I've heard many cases where it's not even your problem. Somebody coming and eating from somewhere.
Yeah.
No idea. Somewhere. So then they realize, you know, it's out of their control. So that means they then start realizing. So like, yeah, that's our independent nature. That's what it makes us think, you know, puts us in illusion.
And some of
the... We are telling some.
Relating to one economic theory where they say it's a theory of the marginal utility. Mm-hmm. So what it means is as you start, like something you really like, but as you start consuming more and more, the value of that particular material thing or whatever it is, you know, that decreases, right? When you're really hungry,
yeah.
You know, let's say one rasgulla is like worth a billion dollars, right? But as you start consuming that more and more, I mean, then rasgulla will be like, you know, maybe $2,
yeah,
$1, maybe it's free. Even if somebody gives free, it's like no value.
Yeah, you don't want to.
So that's how it happens, right? I mean, with
that's correct,
world,
that's correct, yes. So I wanted to give the spiritual side of it, but the opposite is true for spiritual life. The more we, you know, take hear, the more we chant, it increases more and more. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Anandambudhi Vardhanam. It's endless ocean of bliss. So that's why we are so frustrated in this material life. We tried, you know, to drink water in the desert, seek water in the from Maharaj so much, so many lifetimes, and still trying. And still we are not losing hope. But now, at least we should, you know, at least when we know theoretically that there is some alternative, we should try it out and see how much we get satisfaction. So, a very nice practical example Guru Maharaj gives is that, like, for example, I have a microphone, I'm using it to speak, but somehow it doesn't work. So I try to fix it and everything for 1 hour, it doesn't work. Everybody's waiting, they all left who wants to hear the class. But still I'm trying, somebody comes and helps me for 6 hours, I'm trying, it doesn't work. 2 days, it doesn't work. Somebody will come and tell me, why are you trying? You know it's not going to work, just replace it or just take another option. When we hear all this, we may think, oh, this is a stupid person, why is he doing all this? But actually, we are all doing that.
Definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing again and again, but expecting a different result.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes I see the same example in the kids. Like, whatever kid is doing, we are doing same thing. Just a object size is
changing. Correct. Very good.
We are fighting for small girls,
yes,
we are fighting for
exactly.
Big girls.
And we think, oh, kid, why are you fighting for small thing? Can't you give up?
Yeah.
We think like that, you know, but...
I always see, whenever any kid will argue for anything, I just say, okay, I am also doing something in my life.
My son actually will take me to task. He's like, Dad, you told me to do this. How come you are doing this?
Okay, yeah, they are our...
The other extension is also the fact that, let's say something doesn't work, then we think that we can make it work, right? Unless an expert on that tells that it will not work, that's only we say,
yes.
Okay, then we are convinced that it will not work.
Yes.
So I think that's how we need to be in this, like, we need like a guru who can actually tell us that how, you know, so embroiled we are with this material world and what it takes to get out.
That's a very good point.
And one example Prabhu was telling, Harivilas Prabhu once quoted, this is to conclude this section. It seems there was an Indian businessman. He was very, very rich. He earned
I think you all remember. You are there, Arivilas Prabhu's class, your first class.
Go ahead.
Somebody can share.
No. But we don't know which example.
So many Indian gentlemen. So he earned lot of money, everything. But suddenly, in stocks, he lost everything. So, and he had a family of 3 sons, 1 wife, and mother-in-law also was staying. So he couldn't imagine losing everything, like, you know, big palace, palatial house, so many cars, he had to give up everything, right? So he can't imagine, how will I live without all this? So what he did, he killed all his sons, his wife, his mother-in-law, and he killed himself and he died.
See how much attached
he was. Order correct, Brother Ji?
Order, I don't know.
Sorry,
bad.
Okay. Here also, right? I mean, couple of days back, there was a person who was like in deep debt, okay? He has lost a lot of money and he was not sharing the finances with his family. And then what he did was he killed his wife.
Dean, his name is Dean.
Killed his wife killed his 11-year-old girl, okay, and then went and surrendered to the police. I mean, that was the kind of cowardly act that he did.
It's not just sometimes material things, it's also positions and power.
Exactly, that's also material thing.
Yeah, that's also a way of material thing.
Yes.
In New York, what happened, right, last week? So there were these two people who worked together for many years and they never liked each other at work. Then about 2 or 3 years ago, the company laid off one year ago, and this person, and I heard about what they, so he goes home, every day he still used to dress up in his suit and all that.
He was so attached to the
position. Come, but there's no job, right? And then he eventually came back, and I think he came back to the workplace. He came with a gun and killed this guy who used to
he
have
doesn't
a
fight. Like
ex-boss.
And then I passed him, holding that happened.
Uh-huh, that's it.
I didn't know the background of this.
And then he came to work just to kill this guy. And he got himself killed by the police, and he didn't expect to go back. He left a note in his apartment and all that saying that, I don't think I'll come back and all that. But, you know, what struck me was, okay, he didn't like this guy, and so he killed him. Okay, I mean, that fight was there. But additionally, for the last year and a half, every day, nobody knew that he was really laid off other than the people at work, because
he would still wear his suit.
We can see how strong illusion is, right? It's like when we go to some, what is the place where all mad people stay? I don't know what is that place. Mental asylum, right? So each person acts like, you know, I am Alexander the Great, or I am Elizabeth, or somebody, right? And when we look at them, we think, why these people are identifying with somebody who they are not, and they are making that as their life. But actually, we are doing that. We are thinking we are this body, we are, you know, I'm husband of this person or wife of this person, I'm mother of this person. These are all designations we have, right? That's what we are identifying with. What is our real nature? What is our Sanatana Dharma? Okay, first question from introduction. Yes. I'm eternal servant of Krishna. That is our real identity. So now we should cultivate that. Cultivate that real identity, then bhakti process will help us remove all these false designations. There is a verse, I don't remember now, but there is a very nice verse which says that all these false designations go away. So you no longer identify yourself as that person. Like, okay, I don't want to give about my example, but somebody, let's say, like, okay, they worked, studied well, they got good grade and everything, right? Maybe initially they identify with that position and degree. When somebody comes and says, oh, you know, you studied here, you got this, and they'll, I got it, continue, tell more.
No, the good example was the Prabhuji, the Velupudi Krishnan Prabhu, the first class, right? You remember all what he said? If he comes and says, if people come and say, my son studied in
Harvard,
IIT, he told, that's not the right designations. But you remember what he told?
Yeah.
If my daughter is teaching Bhagavad Gita and there are 100 students, that's her real identity. And if my son comes and says, I wash Srirangam temple.
Right.
Yeah, he told that. Srirangam temple, if he washes, then they can be proud, because that's at the spiritual platform. Other things he clearly, you know, so nicely explained.
So the point I was, let me continue that example. So, but then a person who went above this designation, how they will behave? So when somebody again appreciates like that, they will say, okay, yeah, something they are telling about me, this all happened due to the grace of God. Okay, I will accept it on his behalf. But actually they will not be moved by that. They will not be too emotionally, you know, excited or disturbed by such honor or dishonor. Because they are actually identifying and taking shelter at a spiritual conception. That I am actually a servant of God. I am just, in this way or that way, I am just serving God. Like that. So, okay, now let's talk about a positive part of this. Because that's what, every time they say, we should end in a high note. We talked about all the negativities and, you know, this same sad news we always, whole day, we'll be hearing in the news. That's what we heard, some examples. So now let's talk about how to, you know, counteract this. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in bewildering condition. So how do we counteract this? What are the ways we can
Detachment.
Detachment. Yes, that's one thing.
Understanding that is not going, not permanent.
Okay, knowledge, bhakti, knowledge. Okay. What is the easiest way for us?
Surrender, service, standard service, surrender.
Yes.
Do it as service to the Lord.
Yes, that's okay. So what I'm looking at is cultivate that attachment to Krishna and his devotees. So for our philosophy is very simple. Everything, if you want to negate something, you try to dovetail that to Krishna. That's all. You will lose the negativity of the other thing, and you will actually go to the you are on the path of elevating yourself.
What did you say? You
dovetail. Dovetail means it's actually carpentry word, right? Dovetail.
Slide nicely into so that it fits.
So there will be some piece like this and other piece like this. So they just
jig up.
Yeah. So that's a term Srila Prabhupada used it.
Like whatever propensity we have, we try to, you know, for example, serving. So you if you have that propensity to serve something, so you serve the deities or something like this.
Serve devotees, serve Krishna.
So substitute instead of
That's the correct word. Yeah. You can substitute instead of that.
Dovetail means engage. Engage your propensity in that
propensity.
Way. So what happens if you, so when we are like, let's say we know we are cultivating this or we have certain strong material attachment, or if we just leave it like that, our material attachment is going to increase and it's going to cause this bewildering condition. So that's what we are trying. We are trying to cultivate that attachment to Krishna, holy name and devotees. So once we do that, actually amazing thing is you will feel the same anxiety, but that anxiety is purifying. Okay, I want to give an example of my own self here. So what happened was initially when I came to Krishna consciousness, they were like our mentors, Govindcharan Prabhu, Rasika Mataji, they were there. Right now they are not here. They went to San Jose, they moved to San Jose. So they are the ones, you know, I used to attend sessions with them, and whenever I was not even married at that time. So whenever I had any questions about practical, how to apply practically spiritual life, so I used to go meet them. So I've grown a lot of attachment for them. It's like for me, they are my connection to Krishna. And I knew I want to go towards this path and I want to practice this. That is sure. So then that I was going to make that as my life. So that means they were also as equally important for them, because if they are gone, then I don't know how I will progress in spiritual life. So one day that time this temple was not there. It was a small room. I don't know how many people have seen it. So one Sunday, every Saturday morning we used to come to Mangalarti. So we came. After that they also came, and then after that we were just discussing something, and suddenly Prabhu said, we all used to stay in Bellevue. So there every Friday morning they used to have a home program. So I used to go there. So suddenly one day, he told that actually we are moving to Samamish, because temple is going to come, new temple. So we want to be ready when the temple comes so that we can be closer. I was shocked. I was like, I don't even imagine how I couldn't say anything. I was just crying. Then Prabhu was smiling. I was like, what is this, the saddest person, or I'm crying and he's smiling. Then he was telling, you know, that's very good. Attachment to devotees is purifying. So, but then I didn't understand. I knew, all I knew is I was miserable and I don't know how I will progress. But because the goal is spiritual, that becomes purifying. So, and then what happened because of this is because they moved. And I knew I don't have anybody there. Soon I got married. Then immediately I was telling Prabhu, we have to move to Samamish. That's all. That was our main goal. Try to look for houses, everything. And we moved. And because of that, what happened? Then we started coming to Mangalarti. And that was a great booster for our spiritual life. Mangalarti, chanting, everything.
Who started it? Amritananda Prabhu? Or who first came here?
I don't know.
First one?
Yeah. So then, and then now finally they left. But when they left, of course we had the session and we were all sharing how much we will miss them. But then I realized within that few years I've grown a little bit. Now I can stand on my own. Of course I need their help and blessings all the time. But no, I can make my decisions and Prabhu is there to help me, everything. So then I was reflecting how that attachment to devotees has helped me go closer to Krishna. Like that. So, but then the feeling may be same. I will still be miserable in both cases, right? If I lose my phone or if I lose a devotee, probably I'll be crying. But this crying is spiritual, that crying is material. So that crying is going to pull us down, this crying is going to take us closer to Krishna.
So that yesterday, just want to touch on that one point, Shri, right? You were saying that yesterday or day before the lecture, you were talking about how when given a chance to serve, if you serve the Krishna's devotee, if you fall to Krishna. If you serve Krishna, you then fall. So it's much better than...
Correct.
What you said related to...
Yeah, very nice.
Maybe I will send that. There is, I think, Srimad Bhagavatam only there is. Or maybe Bhagavad Gita only. Where Krishna only says, you know, instead of serving him directly, if you serve his devotees, you will be more pleased.
Yeah.
So that's there directly. It's there.
Mm. Okay, so we covered the positive aspect. So we will move further in the purport.
Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words nimittani viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pain. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him.
So Arjuna is seeing only frustration. Because of that he is thinking, why am I here? Right, and then why, and Prabhupada clarifies why it happens like this. Because he is not looking for Krishna's interest. He is only selfishly looking at his own interest. So selfish platform. So, but what is our real self-interest? Our real self-interest is in serving Krishna or Vishnu. Even though it may seem as if like, you know, I am not getting anything. But that is when we get real happiness, when we serve Krishna or Vishnu. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj says this, like 7.5.31. You can refer the translation in English later on if you take a note. 7.5.31, Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidu swarthagatim hi Vishnu. Nate vidu means nobody knows. Swarthagatim means ultimate goal of my life is Vishnu. Nate vidu, nobody knows that the ultimate goal of my life is Vishnu. So this swartha, you know, the general notion of swartha is selfish, right? Yes. But this swartha, when it applies to soul, it's a self-interest. So nobody knows that the real self-interest is Vishnu. And it's as if like people are led, are going in material conception of life, as if like a blind man is leading another blind man and they both fall into ditch. Like how a blind man leads another blind man and they both fall into ditch. Like that, people are following materially attached persons and they're going nowhere and they're just continuing material miseries. So this is the verse 5-year-old Prahlad Maharaj tells. Ultimate goal of life is to serve Krishna or Vishnu.
So what does this, no one is interested in the Supreme Self? I mean, is that what Arjuna is thinking, that why I'm just only thinking about my material attachments?
Yes,
with
exactly.
The family. Okay.
Yes. No, at least when I read this, you know, I got a feeling how Prabhupada loves Krishna so much. No, he was saying everyone is interested in his own himself or his own welfare. Nobody is interested in Supreme Self. Like it's like why are you not serving like? That's the feeling I got, like, why are you not serving Krishna? That's your real self-interest, why are you not serving?
So the other way to put this is, you know we are eternal servants, right? So when will the servant be happy?
If master is happy.
When you serve master nicely, then only you will be happy. Otherwise, you know, if you don't serve the master, then servant's life will be miserable. So, you know, it can practically link. So, we know we are servants, but we are not really serving. So, we cannot expect real happiness. It can be, you know.
So, we heard, right, Krishna is Bhagavan. So, what is Bhagavan? Meaning? Full in?
It was in
six opulences. What are six opulences?
Knowledge.
Strength.
Wealth.
Power. Strength. Beauty. Renunciation. So, strength and wealth. And have everything is there in Krishna full. So, if we are child of God, servant of God, we are naturally inheritors of that property. But if we abandon our father and roam around in streets, we are not qualified for that. Right? So, like a father is there, he has all the wealth and he's telling his son, you just stay home and maybe a little bit you go to school, but you stay home, I'll take care of you, you have all this house, everything. But the child says, no, I want to go figure out myself what is life. I don't want all this. I want to go outside. I want to figure out what does it mean. Then father will try to stop so much. But he says, okay, son, you're not listening. You go, but I'm always waiting for you. Whenever you want, you come back. That's how much material father will do. But what Krishna does, okay, son, you're going to material world. I'm going to come with you as Paramatma within you. I'm going to guide you how to enjoy. And also I am going to guide you how to come back. So that's our eternal father. And we can inherit that kingdom. The only thing is we have to start serving the Lord. And we have to find that happiness in serving the Lord. Then we will never lose it. Because otherwise now it's conditional, right? Sometimes Saturday when weather is good or Sunday, Friday weather is good, we'll come, we'll do. But otherwise I have all the excuses to not do. But we should try to find that happiness in serving the Lord. Then we will feel actually we are doing for ourselves. Okay, this very nice point I want to tell. See, ultimately, if you see what is a common thing everybody is looking for. Anything anybody is doing, what is that? They are seeking happiness. So if I tell my sister is not practicing Krishna consciousness yet. So if I tell my sister my lifestyle, what I am doing, she cannot understand what happiness I am getting. So she is thinking that, oh, it's such a torture. All the time you have to think about Krishna, you have to serve Krishna, it's such a torture. But then, am I not, you know, sensible or selfish enough that I will do things where I don't get any happiness? No, right? If you see, like, especially ISKCON, maybe that's the place we are in right now, we can see those people more. Most of them are financially well settled, very intelligent, have good families, you know, good financial thing, everything. Those people, they are practicing bhakti or they are giving up so many things and doing this. Why? Because they are getting higher happiness in this. Right? So we are actually really, really selfish, but in a proper way of being selfish. Because we know what is the real happiness is in serving Krishna, that's what we are looking for.
Yes, so another easier way to convince them is that I tried that, I had that, it tasted okay, but now I have tasted this tastes much better.
That's what, higher happiness. Yeah.
So, it takes time before you can.
Yes.
It's like sweet, material sweet. You keep eating it. At one point, you go, that next bit of sweet you don't want. Till that point comes, everybody
is. Yes, that's correct. There. Yeah. So that's everybody has to come to that point,
come from
you know.
Inside,
say, yeah. That's correct.
But eventually they will, because.
Yeah.
Everywhere they go, they are banging their head somewhere, right? So then they will
good
eventually.
Good realization. Yeah.
But the scriptures are saying, if we listen, we can save 10-15 years.
Yeah, you know, that's
because,
right.
Mataji was talking about the wise man, clever man, and all that, right? The one who listens and immediately understands that. How many people are there?
Yeah.
Very less.
Okay. So we can start. What's the time?
Okay, you can start. 1:31.
Okay. 31 is covered. We'll just briefly touch upon 31. I don't think we have a lot of points there also. So, Nachesh. We'll not start.
If you cannot leave it off, right?
No. Because we. Yeah, I don't think we can cover it. So that's okay, then we can 20, right?
Anyway, that's 20. The next reason, right?
Yeah, 31 to 35 is the next reason. Yeah, so maybe we can cover the whole reason next class. So who is supposed to give, so we can start the... So any questions so far? Any questions, comments? I was actually thinking, should we have, maybe after first chapter, after the exam or whatever, should we have one session where it's just question answers? Like you can ask some questions about how to apply it in a practical life or how to face situations you face at work or at home.
We can call Arivilas Prabhu.
Yeah, that one class Arivilas Prabhu will be there.
So we can call him and we can all... Like how we did, right? Introduction. We called him, he gave a class. So I will ask him if he can give a class, short class, on just chapter first. And if he can take, you know, if he can take QA, that will be best.
Can we do that before the test?
Yeah, I think that will be the ultimate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that will be useful for us.
Together.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, so we can request. So I will request Arivilas Prabhu to give on chapter 1 and also QA. So, no, that's good, interactive, and of course, he is more advanced.
Okay.
Okay, I will go. I think Amritanda will call. I will go. You will talk
beats. So, one of the things that I was actually trying to do, so in